continues on our first Sunday in this series, we answer by saying, we are the church. As a church, we come together for worship. And on second Sunday, we answer by saying, we practice radical hospitality in and through our church. And the last week, as we have our youth confirmed in the Christian faith, and we say that church, we are intentional about growing in our faith. And today, our answer to that question, what is a church? Our answer is, as you might be able to provide in many places in this worship. Yes, we spread a lot of clues in various places in this worship. Our answer is, it is a generosity. As we grow in relationship to Christ, we grow also in the practice of generosity. And we offer more of ourselves for the purpose of Christ and provide the resources that sustain and strengthen ministry of the church. We do want to help our church continue to touch the lives of more and more people in such ways that our own lives have been touched and transformed by God through the church. Then, by now, some of you might have made up your mind to shut ears to whatever this preacher will say in this sermon, as you might be saying to yourself, oh, no more thing needed to be heard in this sermon. Because I know what the preacher wants from me. It's my money. And then you will shut your ears to the sermon. Then, do you think the funny story would be helpful for you to stay awake in this sermon? One ship sank in the oceans, and two of the passengers here, let's call them Bill and Barney, they found themselves together on a deserted island. And after a few days, Bill, with a worried look on his face, asked Barney, "Do you think they will ever find us?" "And I'm certain of it," Barney says, as he was laid back, and he said, "I make $300,000 a year, and I tithe. That means I make a donation yearly, $30,000 to the church. That is substantial. And I bet my pastor will find me." Do you get it? Please know that your pastor will find you. Not because you give, but because you receive life-giving and life-thriving blessings here in your church. As you keep your ears and heart open for the next 15 minutes with me, let's hear the gospel text for today, which is found from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 34 through 44. As Jesus, went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without shepherd. And he began to teach them many things, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." When he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass, so they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What did you hear from this gospel reading for today, which is known as a miracle story of Jesus feeding 5,000? As for me, this week, it all comes down to this truth. Church happens when people share. Would you repeat with me? Church happens when people share. Yes, church happens when people share in response to the invitation of Jesus Christ. And let's unpack this story and engage ourselves in these stories more deeply. A big crowd found Jesus and his disciples. And when and where? Reading the preceding verses, we can see that Jesus and his disciples had been busy with their ministry, and they were tired. So they decided to withdraw to a deserted place to rest for a while. However, the crowd, seeing them depart, hurried there on foot from all the towns. They have seen and heard of Jesus' healing and preaching ministry. They want it. They want Jesus, and they wanted to be with Jesus. It's the same for us, isn't it? We want what Jesus can offer for us, and we wanted to feel his presence in our life. That's why we are here, a church, in a house of worship. But when Jesus found them coming to him, as Mark tells us here, Jesus had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus began to teach them many things. The gospel writer Luke wrote his introduction to this story by saying, Jesus spoke to the people about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be cured. Even though Jesus needed rest, here he is again teaching and healing. When he sees a group of people in need, he wants to spend time with them. Then, on the other side, you can almost hear the frustration in the voices of the disciples when they came to Jesus saying, "This is far from a village, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and village and buy something for themselves to eat." Send them away, Jesus. They need food and we don't have money. Send them away. Let them take care of their needs by themselves first. However, Jesus' response is surprising here. You give them something to eat. And we feel, we can hear the disciples' reaction. "All right, like we have enough food for this crowd." They knew, and Jesus knew as well, that they did not have enough money to buy food for everyone. Yes, to feed that crowd, which we know is more than 5,000, to feed them would take 200 denarii, which was about a workman's 2/3 yearly wage. But Jesus was persistent. He had a disciple check what they could find among the people. Here, we can imagine the disciples walking up and down through the crowd asking, "Hey guys, hey people, do you have something to share for others to eat with you? Jesus, the one whom you came here to see, wants us to get everyone fed here. Can you share any of the foods that you might have with us?" Now, I invite you to picture yourself as a one in the crowd in this scene. How would you respond to the disciples' request? First, did you notice that you have to choose for yourself whether you have some food or not, whether you came here with some food or not? This question, I believe, is sensible and reasonable. Yes, we know this story, there was one boy in the crowd who gave 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus through the disciples. However, I always wonder whether in the crowd the boy was the only one with any food. We have our children, grandchildren, nephews and nieces. We never want them to go hungry. Then what? It's probably legitimate to suppose that the boy's mother was not the only parent who packed a lunch for their loved one who would go out of the village to spend time with Jesus, the healer and teacher. If you think so, so here, you, sitting in the crowd, are hiding your food behind your bags or under your garment. Now the disciples are walking through the crowd and shouting for people to share their food, and you say, not me, not me. What is it that made you decide not to give? It may be because of your fear of losing yours and fear of ending up with nothing in your hand. Or it may be because you know that one person's portion of food, which you came here with, wouldn't do much good for feeding the crowd. You have your own reasons for not putting your food or your money at Jesus' disposal. Another thing that is worthy of note here in this story is that Jesus then didn't scold or grill the crowd. When only 5 loaves and 2 fish were collected and brought out of the multitude, which we, again, more than 5,000, Jesus showed no signs of disappointment. Rather, he accepted the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. Of course, these actions, take, look to heaven, bless, break, give, are familiar to us as they are what Jesus did in the Last Supper and is now incorporated into our Holy Communion celebration. In that way, we have a way to remind ourselves of this story. Again, you, as one in the crowd, what would you feel when Jesus was doing these actions as if he believed that there would be no problem in feeding the multitude? If I were there witnessing how Jesus responded to all the happening, including my not sharing, which just reveals my scarcity attitude, driven by fear, justified by simple mathematics, and reminding myself of why I decided to come here to a deserted place, which is to see Jesus, to see what Jesus could do for me and for the whole community, then I would first feel, wow, this man is different. Wow, this invitation is different. What Jesus is doing here is create space for God's feast, and I feel I am already invited in it, no matter whether I give or not. Then I would find myself bringing out the food that I had been secretly carrying along and share it with one another as the baskets were being passed around. And as we know, as we read here, that at the end of this meal, there were 12 baskets left over with broken pieces of loaves and fish. So truly, Jesus did a miracle here, didn't he? That evening, in the deserted place, one of the miracles that Jesus did was to change the hearts of the people. Do you think that I water down this miracle story this way? Please don't get me wrong. I do believe in God's ability to do anything. Making more loaves and fishes out of a boy's simple meal won't be a problem to God at all. But Jesus could have said one word and produced food out of nothing. But Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And we know the changing heart is difficult. And changing people's heart is just as miraculous as having multiplied the loaves and the fishes. The greatest challenge of the day is, I quote Dorothy Day's word, how to bring about a revolution of the heart, a revolution which has to start with each one of us. And my parents taught me this truth by saying its point in more common words, saying, peace, do you know? The heaviest thing to lift is the eyelid while you are sitting in a pew and listening to a long and monotone sermon. And the most difficult to open, more difficult than the heavenly gate, is the wallet of the people in the pew. There once was a strong man who worked for a circus team. And his side show is to squeeze juice from a lemon between his hands. And he said to his people, I will offer $200 to anyone here who can squeeze any drop from the lemon now. And a tiny, thin older lady hop up to the stage. Not hop up, but hobble up the stage. And she picked up the lemon and clamped it between her two frail and bony hands. And she squeezed some juices. A teaspoon of lemon juice. And the strong man was amazed and had to pay the woman $200. Then he privately asked her, what is the secret of your strength? Practice, the woman answered. And I have been working on the stewardship drive team for my church for 42 years. Squeeze. But please note that when I say opening up our heart, opening up the wallet, and when I say a willing sharing and joyous giving, I always wanted to rightly focus on the Christians' need to give rather than the church's need to receive. Again, I am saying generosity, not as a money-raising strategy, but as a spiritually powerful truth. Because giving brings to us a blessing to find more clearly God who is at work in and among and through us, a blessing to see that God is doing much bigger works than we could do alone. God takes small things and makes them great. God makes something great from something small. This was a shared experience to all the people in the deserted place, from the disciples who were the inner circle in Jesus' community to the crowd who just came with curiosity or with the great needs to meet for their life, all together experienced the miracle of seeing that when Jesus blessed something we put at his disposal, great things happen. Great thing, from the changing of people's heart to the birthing of a new community, from the realization that what I have is never small when it is used by Jesus, to the multiplication of what is given to him. Not just enough for everyone, but abundant for those who are going to be newly invited in. Again, this is a miracle story that didn't happen one time or two times, but that continues to happen. Jesus makes such a miracle in our hearts as we respond to the Holy Spirit's nudging. Jesus makes such a miracle through his followers and through the church. What we give, whether small or big, all is accepted and blessed in Jesus' name and broken open to be shared and is magnified, often in ways that we don't see or cannot see, or will not be able to see in our lifetime. Look around. Look around this church building, this sanctuary, this our chapel, and the church organ, and all the musical instruments that have lifted our spirit. Every pew where we have sat, and every communion we have received, every hymnal from which we have sung, every praise band that has touched our heart, and every church classroom where we have gathered with our friends and with our children, and every church kitchen that has prepared our meal and the meal that we serve for others in the city, all are the fruit of the generosity of those whose hearts were changed by God's love. We have been the beneficiaries of those who came before us, who were touched by the generosity of Christ enough to give graciously so that we could experience the truth of Christ for ourselves. And we owe the same to generations to come. To conclude this sermon, I want to go back to the story in the gospel text today. That evening, when the 5,000 people sat down together in groups on the green grass as invited by Jesus, when they ate together and were filled, and when they left together as they share in the meal and as they share in the miracle, who do you think was the happiest person in the gathering? It was the boy who gave the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Certainly, he was the one who felt most delightful and grateful for what Christ did for the people. It's because all the great thing that had happened there started with his offering. Though it was small to the eyes of the people who said, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus' followers protested that way that the resources they had were never enough. However, a much bigger and all-encompassing story that Jesus was creating began with that offering, the offering that was generous and full of faith as the boy gave away his meal at Jesus' disposal. The boy decided to do his small part and entrusted the larger work to Christ. Then he was laid bare, and he experienced then that he was blessed in giving, and he was enriched in giving. All we needed to do then is bring what we have generously and unashamedly. Like the disciples that evening, you might be embarrassed at the appeal from the church and at the command from Jesus, and you might be about to send all the new thoughts away, but don't we hear the stories from the gospel, from our church, and for sure from our own life that remind us again that God can make more out of what we offer? If we grab hold of it in our fist, in our chest, in our account, it loses the opportunity to be turned into being part of a greater story. Yes, you and I are asked to offer our loaves and fish for the higher purpose of Christ. Then, only then, we will find our joy overflowing, our soul being satisfied, and our life fulfilling. And we will see clearly that a church is happening, is thriving, as God accomplishes among us the kind of true miracle that occurred on the green grass in a deserted place, which all start with 5 loaves and 2 fish from turn to be the happiest person that day. Let's be that kind of person. And may I have all you respond by saying, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.